Josef Marszalek was born in a tiny Moravian village where half the residents were his direct relatives, and the nearest shop, let alone patisserie, was well beyond walking distance. Yet his early love of baking would one day lead him to become head pastry chef at the world-famous Harrods department store in London. Now, after a sabbatical of sorts in India, he's back in Prague, gearing up to co-host the Czech version of the BBC's wildly popular show, The Great British Bake Off. By his own admission, Josef Marszalek, a burly man with a mane of curly brown hair and a wild beard to match it, has a bit of an ego, so much so that despite his prominence in the world of pastries, Czech public television nearly rejected him as a co-host of its upcoming series, Peče celá země, which loosely translates as The Whole Country is Baking, but which is strictly modeled after the BBC original. Producers, he says, were afraid he would suck up all the oxygen in the room, overshadowing the bake-off contestants. I caught up with Chef Josef in the immaculate kitchen of his Prague flat, where a tantalizing bowl of chocolate-dusted treats was laid out on the table between us. I began by asking him how a kid from a town I can't pronounce ended up baking for royalty, from the Emperor of Japan to the Queen of England, and a host of celebrities, from Sir Elton John to Czech footballer Patrik Schick.
Well, actually, it's not even a town. It's a tiny little village. There is just about 150 people living in, and more than a half is my family. And actually, all of them have the same surname. And it was a beautiful childhood, and I was born in 1982. And even though there was this communist government around, but in a way, it brought stability to people and to the society. And then, of course, the revolution came and the privatization came. And then my grandparents, they decided to get the land field back, and they started private farming with their children, which was my father and his brothers, my uncles. And that for me, that was the time when my childhood actually ended. So I was 10 years old, and most of the spare time I had to either spend around the farm or around working in fields and picking potatoes and feeding the cows and pigs and chickens and rabbits and what else.
Although virtually the entire extended family worked on the farm, Josef Marszalek's parents had another profession in mind for their eldest son. They thought he should become an arts and music teacher, something he had early on in life thought about doing when learning the accordion and how to paint.
And at one point of time, I made a mistake when I said I would like to do what Mrs. Krškova was doing. And she was the head teacher of the school, and she was obviously the amazing piano player. And now she is in her late 80s, and she's still somehow keeping well. And I made this mistake when I said I would like to be doing what she is doing. And that was the only sentence from my childhood my mom remembered. And then she kept reminding me, no, you'll be teacher, you'll be teacher. And even though I wanted to be chef, I wanted to make cakes.
Do you remember when you first got excited about pastries, and what was your earliest inspiration?
I think I remember very clearly once I was trying to climb the table, basically, in my grandma's kitchen. And I just wanted to know what's going on top. And I was 3 years old. So basically, I was much smaller than the table. And I really was excited about the noise, about the smell. I could see the top of the Kugelhof. And I just couldn't see it all. And it seemed to be like extremely amazingly big, huge. And I just wanted to get involved. And the second memory I had very clear was with another grandmom. And I was around in her beautiful old kitchen. And I remember she was preparing very traditional Czech sweet, which is called rakvičky. That's basically egg yolks, which back then there was no hand mixers or anything like this, which you had to keep stirring with the sugar and vanilla sugar for 15 minutes until it gets light and fluffy and you get your volume. And I was so annoying her that I really wanted to just get it and start stirring it. And then she, at one point of time, she just gave up and she said, okay, here it is. Take it, and now 15 minutes, you have to keep stirring it. And I was 3 years old. So obviously the mixing bowl with the six eggs was bigger than me. And I think a minute later or something, my hand was going to break down because it was so difficult and so challenging. And she kept looking at me like, she said, it's a hard job, isn't it? But I wanted to get involved. And I had it very clear from the beginning that I want to do food, especially sweet. I wanted to understand how this is possible, that you go, you pick up your eggs, you go to get your sugar, flour, you do some magic around it, you mix it, and you put it somewhere, which is called oven, or and then you get some beautiful. Imagine you have a 3-4 years old child and you see a picture of wedding cake, and you have no idea how you get this done, but you see the product, and the one thing you also know is that it's edible. Which is also exciting. And you see this huge monster, and when you get older, you start searching for the little details, and you know there is a flowers which you can eat made out of marzipan or gold or silver.
Despite that passion, rather than enroll in a hotel and cooking school, at first Josef Marszalek honored his parents' wishes. After grammar school, he applied to and was accepted by a number of master's programs, including at Prague's famous film school FAMU. This and another of his early passions, animation.
I had a very strong relationship, apart of cooking, to art. One of my role players was Walt Disney once, or in Czech it was Jiří Tenka, who was actually revolutionary when it comes to animation and cartoon movies. And during the grammar school and primary school, I was really painting and sculpturing and doing all of this.
Although accepted to FAMU, he was not given a scholarship, and his family did not think they could afford to send him to study in Prague. So, for the time being, he decided to accept an offer to teach music and art history at his old grammar school. It didn't last long. By the time he was 20, he'd packed his bags for Prague and found a job working for a baking and catering firm founded by the parents of future professional footballer Patrick Schick and his supermodel sister, Christina.
They had more than, I think, 30 pastry chefs, two different kitchens. One was making the traditional Czech sweets, and the another one was making the cakes to order by measure, you know, for Park Castle and for Municipal House and for some Barrandov ateliers. So that was a beautiful opportunity which they gave me.
Josef Marszalek showed a talent not just for creative baking, but also for managing people, and was soon studying what he had always wanted to while working in those kitchens. He earned chef's and pastry chef's qualifications in Prague, and then entered a private university to study for a degree in hospitality and hotel management. It was during those 3 years in Prague that he catered to the Emperor of Japan. Soon, it would be the Queen of England.
My friend came with an amazing idea to go to UK for summer holidays. She just finished her university degree in Charles University as a physiotherapist. And she asked me if I want to go with her to Scotland or to England or somewhere and for summer to pick raspberries. And I was thinking that's a ridiculous idea.
Not quite convinced, as he doubted he could make enough for it to be worthwhile, Josef Marszalek nonetheless found work as a chef de partie, or line cook, in the kitchen of a 5-star hotel in Bath. His travel companion decided to stay home as she'd found a new boyfriend. Josef Marszalek went anyway. After a couple of years of shuttling back and forth from Bath to Prague to finish his degree, he rose up the ranks to the point where he felt stifled. He decided to take a few last temporary assignments in the weeks leading up to Christmas through the same agency that had landed him in Bath.
So I had a week in Buckingham Palace. I had a week in Tate Modern, and I had a week in House of Lords. After which Fiona called me, that was a Wednesday in the middle of November, and she said, tomorrow you have appointment in Harrods. And I said, what's Harrods?
Chef Josef would end up spending nearly 8 years at that department store in Knightsbridge, then owned by Egyptian billionaire Mohammed Al-Fayed.
The moment I saw the beautiful terracotta building and the massive show windows, immediately I knew, without knowing what's happening inside, I did not know it's the world's most famous, largest department store with 1 million square feet of selling space and 7 floors. And I'm the best Harrods ambassador. I hope it's clear. And I did not know what's happening inside. But the outside, you know, the shell was talking to me very clearly that this is made for me. I didn't actually read Harrods, Harrods, Harrods. I was saying, Joseph, 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 that's me.
He started off making apple pies. A billion of them, he says, and went home for Christmas. After New Year's, he was offered a permanent job there, again as a lowly chef de partie. But after a massive shake-up in the staff, he was quickly promoted, and before long, the executive chef had left most of the creative work in the hands of Josef Marszalek, though he was far from senior man in the massive team of pastry chefs and bakers.
within the next four years, basically promoted me, I think 7 times. So in 4 years' time, I was his direct report. I got the offer to the very top 2 months before I resigned. And I knew that I'm not going to stay any longer, because I had a dream when I came to Harrods. I had it very clear, I had my goal, and I was thinking, okay, I want to change everything, and I think I will need 3 years. 3 years is 1,000 days, and in 1,000 days you can do a lot. The truth was, it took me almost 5.5-6 years.
In time, he also came to know Mohammed Al-Fayed, having brought him to tears with a surprise 180-kilo birthday cake in the shape of a sphinx, with a 24-karat gold-leaf edible face in the billionaire's likeness. Everyone on the team got a 1,000-pound Harrods voucher as a bonus.
He was also famous when he saw couples, younger or older, he was famous for giving them a Viagra. And he was always very charming, and he had this kind of, you know, the sparkle in his eye, and, you know, he was very cheeky, I think is the word.
The Sphinx was by far the biggest project that Yosef Marshalek has worked on. I asked him what some of the riskiest ones were.
The risky ones are always the ones with the combinations. So once you start using something people are not comfortable with, or something which is very unusual to you, I mean, if you are a chef and you work with a seafood, you would not expect to come and to see lobster and vanilla. So that's a risk, you know. But once you see lobster with the vanilla, you put already two very expensive things together. But actually, when it comes to the molecular part, then you know that the vanilla and lobster, they have very same flavor profiles. Part of the molecules are the same. That's why it works together.
He has also always liked taking risks when creating edible art pastries and cakes. For instance, using violets and roses in combination with a meringue, or tobacco with chocolate. And he is crazy for agarwood, a resin used in incense, tonka beans from a giant tree found in the Amazon rainforest, which in large amounts are deadly and so banned in some countries. And the list goes on.
Of course, this does not make much money, because people will be always buying the normal creme brulee, the tiramisu, the cheesecake, the carrot cake, of course. But this makes a story. And now, in the age of Instagram and all these Pinterest and Snapchats and all of these, this is what people take pictures of. Who is taking picture of the carrot cake anymore? Nobody. But you put the carrot cake, ginger and passion fruit flowers, and people get excited, and it's colorful and it's got a story. It has to look accessible more than too artistic, because when it looks like a Picasso on a plate, then for many people it's inaccessible. And that's the problem. You know, they see, well, what is this? Where is my cake?
After a decade working at a frenetic pace in the UK, Yosef Marshalek spent a year and a half in India, helping expand and streamline a friend's French-style patisserie, but always finding time for yoga, usually at 4 a.m. He also took up painting again. In general, he says, he just slowed down and learned to appreciate life. Now he's back in Prague and gearing up for prime time, literally, as one of two, admittedly very opinionated judges, on the Czech version of the Great British Bake Off.
Everybody who is doing a top job is in a way controversial. You will never make everybody happy, you cannot satisfy everyone, and if you are where you are, you have to have a strong opinion. You can't tell to people to everything, I don't mind, it's okay, I don't care. No, I do care, I do mind, and it's not okay.
After choosing a dozen finalists from thousands of contestants, the show, here called Peče Celá Země, starts shooting in May, but is only set to air a year later. It is among the most expensive rights deals Czech public television has ever made, and the post-production process, he says, is massive and meticulous, a bit like the judge himself.